Please turn with me. Well, I don't really have to turn, but go to Hebrews 11, verse 6. And if we can, who's ever on building, can we pop on another unit? It's raining down my ears. Yes. Thank you. Hebrews 11, 6, in the J.B. Phillips New Testament, it reads, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. The man who approaches God must have faith in two things. First, that God exists. Secondly, that it's worth a man's while to try and find God." Then when you look at Matthew 6:33, the King James Version, and then we're going to read it in the Passion. And then we're going to read it in the Johnson paraphrase, because I need you to really see this. "But seek ye first." Seek ye when? First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The Passion Translation says, "So above all." What does above all mean? There's nothing that should prevent you from doing this. Because above all, constantly seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. Constantly. That means in every situation and everything that you're doing, where's the kingdom? If you don't see the kingdom in it, guess what? Maybe you shouldn't be doing it. Above all, constantly seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. Constantly means all of the time. Then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. That's why God said, what are you worrying about all this stuff? Just do what I need you to do for the kingdom, and all this stuff you're worried about will come to you abundantly. Abundantly. And then we have the Johnson paraphrase. That's why you have to find all these different translations and read scriptures in them, because you get a clearer understanding as to what God is saying to us. Matthew 6, 31, 33 in the Johnson paraphrase says, "Again, I repeat," which means he said this before, "do not live with anxiety. Do not keep asking, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Where do I get my clothes?" All this continuous quest for more and more of the physical necessities, listen to this, occupies the full attention of those who are unaware of God's presence. When you go around looking and asking and concerning yourself about stuff and things, it takes all your attention, leaving you totally unaware of God's presence. I can assure you that your Father, the source of your being, is aware of all your physical needs. You are to give first priority to the spirit dimension. You are to give first priority to the spirit dimension and to setting all your relationships right. When you get the proper perspective, these other things will take care of themselves. When you get your thinking right, when you get your priorities in order, yes, sir. Yes, sir. All of these other things will take care of themselves. Yes, sir. When we give more attention to what we think are our physical needs, we are totally unaware of God's presence. Yeah. Let me ask you a question. If I give something my full attention, how much of my attention is left? So if I give circumstances my full attention, it means I am paying no attention to what God said. And we're wondering why we're going through what we're going through. We're too concerned about stuff and things, what we're going through, who's bugging us, you know, what we desire, what we think we are entitled to. Okay? And the problem with that, folks, look at Matthew 22. I'll do it this way. It's where we'll see the problem and we'll see a solution. Matthew 22, I'm in the Johnson paraphrase. It says, when the pious rule keepers got word that Jesus had neutralized the attack of the aristocrats, they swore again to trap him. This time, they sent a lawyer. And don't go around saying, Pastor Carr said lawyers are bad. Our daughter's an attorney. She ain't bad. Teacher, among all the rules which we have been given, which do you consider to be superior? The next three words are very important. It says, without any hesitation, I'm going to come back there in a minute. Without any hesitation, Jesus answered. Without any hesitation, he answered, you are to love the Lord your God with all your feelings, with all your inner being, and with all your intelligence. This is the number one rule. When Jesus was presented with that question, he answered it without any hesitation. You know what I did? I looked up that word. Hesitate. To be reluctant or wait to act because of fear, indecision, or disinclination. So when you're presented with a situation and you are hesitant, you're hesitant to respond the way you have been trained, you are afraid. What are you afraid of? That maybe it won't work. You're afraid that they may retaliate. You're reluctant. You're not sure what to do, because that's another part of the definition. It means to doubt. It also means to be unwilling. You wait because this is not something you want to do. God, you know I don't like that. Like he asked you. You're unwilling. See, now it gets down to where the rubber meets the road. I'm hesitating because I don't really want to do this. So maybe if I procrastinate, God will have someone else do it. It says it's a moral or ethical consideration or standard that acts as a restraining force to inhibit certain actions. So when you hesitate, you're hesitating because you want to come up with a reason not to do it. That's why we hesitate. And here's why it's important. This is why you can do it. In John 8, verse 28, in the Amplified Classic Bible, Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, you will realize, no, understand that I am he for whom you look, and that I do nothing of myself, of my own accord, or of my own authority, but I say exactly what my Father has taught me. Jesus knew what he had been taught, and he bought into it. See, it's one thing to be taught something. It's another thing to receive the teaching. He bought into what he was taught by his Father. So when he was presented with a question, there was nothing to hesitate about. He said, now I say exactly what my father tells me to say. Exactly. I don't change it a bit. He doesn't care if the people like it, don't like it. What if father said, this is what you say, that's what he said. Without hesitation. There were no considerations, no standards to restrain. And it's important to understand that. Because, see, folks, when you hesitate, you're looking for options. Say, when I hesitate, I'm looking for options. There are no options. And we need to understand this because there's a job that we have to do, and we have to do it together. And if there's one person that's indecisive, we can't do what we're supposed to do. I need you to understand why this is so important. So go to Mark 4, please. We're going to look at the parable of the sower, but we're going to look at it from a translation that I don't recall us ever using. It's the International Children's Bible. I'm not saying that you're children, but the way it's presented, it makes a lot of sense. Starting with verse 18, it says, others are like the seed planted among thorny weeds. Listen to this. They hear the teaching. They hear the teaching. You are hearing the teaching. But then other things come into their lives, worries, the love of money, and wanting all kinds of other things. And as I said to you earlier, all those other things can fall into the category of options. God gives us specific instructions. The world gives us options. And if we haven't bought in to what God said, we will consider the options. But according to Matthew 4:19 in the International Children's Bible, these things, listen carefully to this. I never saw it printed this way. These things stop the teaching from growing so that teaching does not produce fruit in their lives. That answers the question for me. When you look at what some longtime members are going through and saying, they've been taught. Yes, but they're too focused on other things, so the teaching didn't grow. It didn't grow. And if it doesn't grow, it can't produce fruit. But it will produce hesitations. It will produce options to what you've been taught. And it will stunt your spiritual growth. Because considering options will stop you from receiving and growing. So when we face with anything, without hesitation, we should be putting God first. Without hesitation, we should be seeking his kingdom. Without hesitation, it comes up, boom, God. Like we sang this morning, he's more than enough. He's more than enough. You can't defeat a full-time devil being a part-time Christian. And if you're busy looking at all of the options, you ain't full-time. A full-timer has no options, considers no options, doesn't want to talk about any options. A full-timer is concerned with one thing and one thing only. What did thus saith the Lord? In any situation, Father, what do you have to say about this? How do, your word says this. How do I apply that here? Because all this other stuff that they're talking about, those are options that don't apply to me. They do not apply to me. He looked using that same concept of part-time and full-time in terms of employment. There's another category called exempt and non-exempt, which there are rules for what people can do. We need to know when we're Christians, we're exempt. we're exempt. It's stuff we don't have to do. Christians don't punch a clock. Christians don't punch a clock. You're on the job until Father says it is finished. Until Father says, I have yet to find a scripture that even suggests that you decide when your season's up. I haven't found one, and I've been looking because I hear people say things. Well, my season is over. Did God tell you that? Well, I've been doing this for a number of years. Did God tell you that? When God told me to join the youth department, I didn't know I was going to be there over 18 years. If he said, I want you to join the youth department for 18 years, I'm like, I got to find another church. He said, join the youth department. And eventually I said, okay. But I hesitated. Not because I was trying to hear God, because I didn't want to do it. So I was in rebellion, and I joined the host, and I put them at risk because I wasn't supposed to be there. I put my marriage at risk because I wasn't supposed to be a host. God didn't tell me to do that. I hesitated. Not because the devil's power was so strong. I did not want to do it. So I went looking for options, and the devil will make sure you find them. 1 John 3, verse 23, in the Passion Translation. So these are his commands, that we continually placed our trust in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and that we keep loving one another just as he has commanded. That's full time. We continually place our trust in the name of Jesus. Continually. Not every now and then. We keep loving one another. That's unconditional. It doesn't say we keep loving one another as long as everybody's behaving themselves. So continually placing our trust in him and loving one another as commanded is what we should be doing all of his time, all of the time, because that's what we've been taught. When we allow the cares of the world to shift us away from that, we're part-time Christians. Matthew 16, verse 24, in the Amplified. Now listen to this when talking about being full-time. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to be my disciple, let him deny himself, disregard, lose sight of, and forget himself and his own interests, and take up his cross and follow me, cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly, wholly, to my example in living and, if need be, in dying also. That's being fully committed. That's going full time, not part time. Not, I'll follow you, Lord, until it looks like I'm going to die. And then I'll have to do something else because, after all, how can I serve you if I'm dead? I mean, it sounds logical, but it's dumb. Because if God told you that's where your safety is, that's where your protection is, that's where your provisions are, if you go away from that, you leave yourself wide open for whatever's going to happen. And we don't want to do that. Jesus is asking for a full-time commitment. There's no way to be completely ready for all situations if you're a part-time Christian. You may be able to handle some, but not all. In John 15, Verse 7, still in the Amplified Classic, Jesus said to his disciples, if you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. So the full-time Christian can ask what he will and it'll be done. Because the full-time Christian abides vitally united to Christ. He remains in and continues to live. We allow Christ to remain in and continue to live in our hearts. And when we do that, it puts us in a position, because we're full-time, whatever we ask, it shall be done. He said, remain and continue full-time, not part-time. See, he didn't say remain and continue sometime. He didn't say remain and continue when it's convenient. See, I had a good laugh when I was reading through these notes around 1:30 this morning, because I just couldn't sleep. I was just too excited. And I started thinking about that, being a part-time Christian. You know, I said, I'd only do the things God told me to do. I'm a fool for Jesus. I don't care. But when you're a part-time Christian, it's doing the hokey pokey. There's no commitment there. Put your left hand in, pull your left hand out. Pull your left hand in and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around. That's not the way we're supposed to live as believers. Part-time Christians do that. They put their hand in, the hand gets slapped, they take their hand out. They put their hand in, ow, I'm getting out of here. We're not doing a silly dance. We are representing the kingdom of God. Full time. What are we going to do? The unbeliever comes. They say, well, I'm a part-timer. I'm not on call right now. Come back next Tuesday. I'm on vacation this week. I need to rest away from things. I need to decompress. Those words actually came out of my mouth as I'm sitting down. Dun, 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 dun. Theme music for the Untouchables. I need to compress. I need a moment. No, you didn't take a moment. You took 6 hours. That type of decompressing, you compress yourself away. I'm just being honest with you. Being a born-again believer is not a silly dance. There are no benefits connected to being a part-time Christian who is unaware of the presence of God. When I wanted to learn, when I decided I was going to conquer basketball, every part of my time that belonged to me, being a child growing up, your time doesn't always belong to you. There's school, there's homework, there's housework, you know. All of my time I spent learning, practicing basketball. Why? I wanted to conquer it. I didn't get to the place where I didn't achieve what I achieved in that sport doing it part-time. I had to give all that I had into it. All that I had. I had to forget hanging out. For me, it was no longer an option. Sitting down thinking about what girl I liked or if she liked me, it wasn't an option. That wasn't going to help me learn how to play basketball. I had to forget playing football and baseball, which were the sports that I loved. I didn't love basketball. I learned how to play basketball to get revenge. It's another story. But that's what I did. I couldn't expect to be any good at that game if I only did it part-time. I had to do it all of the time. The disciples, before they received the Holy Spirit, were not full-time Christians. See, how can you say that? Look at Matthew 17. In the Message Bible. It says at the bottom of the mountain, they were met by a crowd of waiting people. As they approached it, a man came out of the crowd, fell to his knees, begging, "Master, have mercy on my son. He goes out of his mind, suffers terribly, falling into seizures. Frequently, he is pitched into the fire, other times into the river. I brought him to your disciples, but they could do nothing for him." Why not? They've been taught. They've done this before. Jesus said, again, this is why you want to read in as many translations as you can find. Jesus said, "What a generation. No sense of God, no awareness of God's presence. No focus to your lives." That means you're scatterbrained. You're all over the place. And then I saw something that I never saw in the scripture before. How many times do I have to go over these things? That means this has happened before. More than once. He said, how many times do I have to go over these things? How much longer do I have to put up with this? Bring the boy here. He ordered the afflicting demon out, and it was gone. It was out, gone. From that moment on, the boy was well. When the disciples had Jesus off to themselves, they asked, "Why couldn't we throw it out?" Now, why do you think they asked that question? Why do you think? You have a thought? Don't hesitate. Speak. They thought Jesus could do something they couldn't do. They saw Jesus do something they couldn't do. And they saw Jesus do something that they should have been able to do. So they said, why couldn't we do that? Obviously, they had tried. So they knew. Jesus didn't say, well, that was a pretty powerful demon. You never faced anyone that strong before. It's okay. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say, well, the boy's father wasn't ready to receive. You know, he needed a little time to work on his belief. Remember, he did ask me to help with my unbelief. He didn't ask you guys that question, so it's okay. And he certainly didn't say, well, it was God's will. No, what he said was, because you're not yet taking God seriously. That's what he said. Because you're not seeking God first. Because you're not seeking his presence. You're unaware of his presence. Because you're a part-time believer. See, I knew when I read the scripture, it said this one comes out not by prayer and fasting. I had questions about that because the Bible didn't say Jesus prayed and fasted and then cast them out. So I'm thinking, since I can do what Jesus did and he didn't have to pray and fast, that has to mean something else. Well, it's talking about lifestyles. And their lifestyle, they were doing the hokey pokey. And they came across a demon that turned them around. Then Jesus said, listen to this carefully. The simple truth is that if you had a mere kernel of faith, so in that situation, guess how much faith they had? Zero. A poppy seed, You would tell the mountain, not ask the mountain. You would tell this mountain, move. It would move, and it would move. There is nothing you wouldn't be able to tackle. Nothing. If you are a full-time Christian, you're operating without hesitation, and there is nothing that you won't be able to tackle. Nothing. I called the office and tried to get a hold of the pastors, but they didn't call me, or they didn't call me back. We do a few more things than just sit by the phone and wait for calls. But you've been taught. Stop focusing on things, distractions that keeps the teaching from growing and producing fruit. Because if you're on an island by yourself with no cell phone towers, guess who you're not going to be able to call? Not only would you call the pastor, you're not going to call anybody. But you can call on the name of the Lord. You have the authority. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command. You didn't say Jesus command, I command. Why? I've been given that authority. I've been taught. And that teaching has grown in me and is producing fruit in me. So their failure to constantly focus on what they've been taught choked out their awareness of the presence of God. And it made the power of God unavailable to them. The power of God was there. But because they weren't full-time, because they weren't taking it seriously, they couldn't connect with it. We have to be able to always connect with the power of God, folks. The world is depending on it. Stop complaining about the attitude of this world. The reason they have that attitude is they're not seeing the power of the church. And once they see the power of the church, guess what? Their attitude will change. It will change. We have to give first, in Matthew 6:33 in a Johnson paraphrase, we have to give first priority to the spirit dimension and to setting all our relationships right. When you get the proper perspective, these other things will take care of themselves. They'll just take care of themselves. In Acts 4, Peter and John were addressing the people. This is a Message Bible. The chief of the temple police and some Sadducees came up indignant that these upstart apostles were instructing the people and proclaiming that the resurrection from the dead had taken place in Jesus. They arrested them and threw them in jail until morning. For by now it was late in the evening, but many of those who listened had already believed the message, in round numbers, about 5,000. The next day, a meeting was called in Jerusalem. The rulers, religious leaders, religion scholars, Annas, the chief priest, Caiaphas, John Alexander, everybody who was anybody was there. They stood Peter and John in the middle of the room and grilled them. Who put you in charge here? What business do you have doing this? Verse 8, with that, Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, let loose. Rulers and leaders of the people, if we've been brought to trial today for helping a sick man put under investigation regarding his healing, I'll be completely frank with you. We have nothing to hide. By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one you killed on the cross, the one God raised from the dead, by means of his name, this man stands before you healthy and whole. Verse 13 says they couldn't take their eyes off them. Peter and John standing there so confident, so sure of themselves, so confident, so sure of themselves. And in verse 17, after the rulers and everybody talked it over, they said, let's silence them with threats so they won't dare to use Jesus' name ever again with anyone. Let's give them some options to consider. Cause them to change their mind. Cause them to rethink their position. Put doubt in their head as to who Jesus really is. So they called them back. Verse 18, they called them back and warned them that they were on no account ever again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. Mr. Bob says, but Peter and John spoke right back. No hesitation. They didn't have to say, come on, let's talk. Let's think about this. Well, Peter, what do you think? I mean, those stripes hurt, you know. They didn't think about anything that their oppressors had to say. Peter and John spoke right back. Whether it's right in God's eyes to listen to you rather than God, you decide. As for us, there's no question. We can't keep quiet about what we've seen and heard. Without hesitation. Just for us, there's no question. There's nothing. That's like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We don't even have to think about this. If you throw us in the furnace, our God will deliver us. But you know what, King? Even if he doesn't, we still won't bow down. They didn't call a meeting. Let's decide how we're going to handle this. I mean, man, I've never seen that furnace that hot before. Especially when they took the first group up and to go to throw the first one in and the guards burn up. The other two didn't say, we'll bow. We'll bow. I don't want to be a crispy critter. No, there was no question. They were full time. They were all in. We have to be full time. We have to be all in. All in. You're wondering, why isn't the word working? Well, if you're thinking that, you're not full time. Because if you're full time, you would know that the word works. And there is no why. How come I'm not seeing that? Open your eyes. My eyes are open. No, your spiritual eyes. You're not seeing the kingdom. You're seeing the circumstance. And you're not keeping first things first. So you slide over into part-time status. And you get part-time benefits. I think of the words that Jesus spoke. When it said for Jesus, well, let me tell you this first, and then I gotta close because we still have to do communion. How many of you heard the term he who hesitates is lost? Right, that's part of a proverb by Marcus Aurelius Cato or Cato. He was in one of the early BCs. But it means you react too slowly to situations, especially urgent ones. It means you die, you get hit, you lose a good opportunity, you fail to make the grade. The full proverb is he who hesitates is lost. Swift and resolute action leads to success. Self-doubt is a prelude to disaster. When you start questioning the validity of the word of God in your particular circumstance, it's a prelude to disaster. You're hesitating, you're considering options. And those options don't really exist for us. For us, there's no option. As like Peter said, that for us, there's no question. There's no question. We have to be that sure because we don't, without any hesitation, Jesus answered. Peter and John spoke right back. Those are the words and actions of full-time Christians, people who believe the word full-time, not part-time. God has spoken a number of prophetic things concerning this ministry. We have to be full-time. If we want to receive them, it requires that we are full-time Christians, not part-time. Full-time. That's why it's important to remember this is a place where the love of God is evident. That means if you're part of this place, loving one another is a full-time character trait. The word of God being taught full time, not sometime. The Spirit of God being directing full time, not part time. We have to allow the Spirit of God to always direct. And the power of God is manifested. Because we allow His love to be evident, because we allow His word to be taught, because we allow His Spirit to direct, His power is evident. If we fall away for any of those first three, we don't get the last one because we become part-time. We are full-time believers. We're full-time Christians. We keep first things first without hesitation. Turn to your neighbor. See, I keep first things first without any hesitation. I strongly suggest you do the same. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Thank you, Father, on this Independence Day, giving us a message that allows us to be independent of the distractions, independent of the options the enemy throws our way. And the reason we can be independent is because we are totally dependent on you and on your word. We're totally dependent on what you said. Totally dependent. And being in that state of total dependence, we have no options. We are constantly aware of your presence. We are constantly aware of the power your presence makes available to us. And because we have allowed the teaching to grow and bear fruit, we can tap in to that power. We thank you, Lord, that your grace is always sufficient for us. And we thank you, Lord, that we are here in these United States of America where we can get this kind of teaching freely and openly. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Everybody say, I am a full-time
Christian.
And that's what you tell the devil.
That's right.
You can hokey pokey a little backside out of here. Because the Bible tells me to love one another. It doesn't say I have to love you. So you can get the boot. And if you don't hurry up, I'll borrow Pastor Greg's shoes. Listen. First thing you want to do, if you're going to be a full-time Christian, is become one. You have to become a born-again believer. And it's easy. It really is. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you're saved. It's that simple. And so I'm going to ask you, if you're here, to make a bold move. You never received Jesus Christ as Savior. I need you to raise your hand up high and proud. No, I have never received Jesus. Because I'm going to lead you in that confession. So you will. Is there anyone here? I don't see any hands.